Welcome to The Bridge Church. Our hope is that God will speak to you through this sermon, and you will walk closer with Him in your daily life. Enjoy the message, and God bless.
This world brings a lot of suffering. There's pain. There's heartbreak. People are hurt every day. There are natural disasters that hurt people. Volcanoes, tornadoes, twisters, earthquakes, hurricanes, forest fires. They've all killed people or injured people. There are biological disasters. Spanish flu, Ebola, swine flu, the flu, COVID-19. People hurt people. There are abuse in homes. There's murder. There's rape. Hitler tried to take out an entire nation of people. There's slavery. There's 9/11, Boston bombers, social injustice. People suffer. We live in a world full of suffering. And people will try to take advantage of your suffering. Like commercials. There's like, eat this food and have everlasting satisfaction. Or read this book and become rich. Or give us money, you will never ever have a problem again. And that is far from the truth. The truth is, we are born in the suffering. We will always suffer on this side of heaven. There will always be problems. There will always be drama. And it can lead you to depression, anxiety, and suicidal tendencies. And so this morning, how are you feeling? Are you brokenhearted this morning? Like, how are you feeling? Do you need joy? If you would, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, verses 22 through 26, as we learn how to choose joy even when life invites suffering. If you own a Bible, you don't really know how to navigate through that. In every Bible that I know, there's a table of contents, and there's an Old Testament, and there's a New Testament. And in the New Testament is where you are going to find Philippians. Paul is writing to a church that is under heavy persecution. It's actually a church that he started. And so Paul writes a letter to this church that's going through a lot. And Paul himself, he's going through a lot. If you're new to church and you don't really know who Paul is, Paul was a man that persecuted Christians, killed Christians, watched Christians be killed, stoned Christians. And then his life was changed forever by Christ, where he started to tell people about Christ that gives joy. And so during this time, Paul is going through a lot of suffering. I mean, he's been chased out of cities. He's been beaten. He's been stoned. He's been flogged. He's been thrown into prison, all for trying to give people joy. And this church in Philippi turns to him to learn how to choose joy. And so last week, we saw Paul writes this sweet paragraph of his love for that church. And then this week, he starts his lesson on choosing joy. And so if you're there, we're going to go ahead and read Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. And I want to do something different this time. I'm going to read the entire passage. And so as you're watching, as you're tuning in, I would love for you to close your eyes and try to envision everything that is happening in this passage. Let's look at it. He says, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed. but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. And this is one of my favorite verses here. It says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain. And I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. So that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ will abound on account of me." Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for everything that you do for us. God, I'm so thankful for your love and your guidance and wisdom, Lord. I'm so thankful that you provide for us. God, we live in a world that's just so broken and so fallen, and people hurt people. There's so much suffering that happens. We don't understand why, but that it's there. My hope this morning, Lord, is that we would just ask you for joy through all the suffering that we go through. God, that we know that things are not going to be easy, that you promise things aren't going to be easy, but you also promise that you would never abandon us. What a great God you are. Lord, I pray that this message will pierce people's heart, that they will become on fire for you, that they will want to share the gospel. They will want to tell people about Jesus so that other people can be connected to joy. Lord, because we need joy. We're so used to being in love with just momentary satisfaction. But Lord, we need everlasting fulfillment. And so, God, I'm so thankful for you. God, I pray that you speak through me as you always do. And God, just help us to find joy and choose joy through this message. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you have your pen and you have your paper, your big idea this morning is this: a kingdom mindset gives joy through earthly suffering. I know that's long this morning. Hopefully they'll keep it up as long as possible. But it's a kingdom mindset gives joy through earthly suffering. Put that in the comments. Write that in your journal. Circle that. Underline that. All of that. So what is happening? The gospel is causing Paul to suffer. But through suffering, the gospel advances. Isn't that weird? Like, Paul is in chains and the gospel is still advancing. So the first thing that we need to tackle this morning is, what is the gospel? Like, maybe you're new to church and you've heard that word. You don't really know what that means. And you're asking, like, what is the gospel? Why was the gospel advancing? Why did the gospel put Paul in prison? What does that mean? Well, the gospel just means good news. Like, it literally means good news. And the gospel that Paul is talking about is the good news of Jesus Christ. It is that Jesus is God and he isn't distant from you, even in the midst of your suffering. Like, amen to that. Like, he's not distant from you, even in the midst of your suffering. That Jesus is God and has always made himself available in the midst of your suffering. The bad news is this, or the good news is God has a standard. But the bad news is we don't meet his standard. And because of disobeying him, because of sinning against him, we deserve God's wrath. Because God is a just God. But because God isn't distant, he invites himself in the midst of chaos, in the midst of suffering. He becomes a man for us. This just means he becomes hungry. He becomes thirsty. He becomes tired. He becomes drained. He becomes overwhelmed, all for us. Jesus, who being God in the flesh, is led to the cross. Because he's perfect, he takes God's wrath that we deserve because we didn't live by his standard. See, all of our sin that happened in the past, in the present, and in the future is placed on him at the cross. And he dies the most gruesome death that has ever happened or is ever known to mankind. And because of his death and resurrection from the grave, we now have this awesome opportunity to be forgiven for all of our mishaps, all of our sins, all of our imperfections. For every wrong thing we've done, it can be erased. And Jesus made that possible. And so what that means is when you stand before God the Father, He will either judge you for all the bad things that you've done in life, all the imperfections that you've done in life, all the mishaps that have happened. He will judge you by your own merits. Or if you accept Jesus, accept the good news, and have a relationship with him, He will judge you for what Jesus Christ has done for us. Him living a perfect life. Him being holy. Him being righteous. That will be accredited to us. That's the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. And Paul being in chains, the gospel advances. And it gave encouragement to other believers to spread the gospel. And so this is what I get from that. The gospel can't be stopped. Y'all, the gospel cannot be stopped. The gospel should amplify during difficult situations because the gospel changed lives. It changes lives. It transforms people from bad to good because of Jesus. It restores broken families. It restores broken homes. It restores marriages. It removes addictions. It heals broken hearts. It satisfies. It gives us love. It gives us peace. It gives us hope. It gives us joy. Although there will be forever be suffering, the gospel will help change lives and bring joy. It is too powerful to be stopped. And so you can put a servant of the gospel in chains, but the gospel will not be bound by chains. Do you hear that this morning? You can put a servant of the gospel in chains, but the gospel will not be bound by chains. You can't hold it hostage. You can't imprison it. You can't bury it. It is too powerful. That's the gospel. And it can forever change your life. Now, Paul is going through suffering right now. He's going through suffering. There are two major problems that he's going through. And the first one is this. He's in jail for no reason at all. He's literally done nothing wrong, except for give people hope and give people joy and give people love. And he is suffering in prison. And prison was worse in Rome than it is in America. Like, let's be honest. Like, he might not have eaten for 14 days. I don't know. He was handcuffed to his guard. I mean, his guard could beat him, do whatever he wanted to him. There's no privacy for him. Paul is literally suffering in prison there for no reason at all. And so number one, where does Paul find his joy during this suffering? He receives joy by being fueled by Jesus. His joy comes from being fueled by Jesus. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25, we can see how Paul responds when he's in prison. Like, there's something different about Paul. There's this joy that he has when he is suffering that we all should have when we're going through problems and situations. And so in Acts 16:25, this is what it says. About midnight. Midnight. About midnight. Maybe that's 11:58, 11:59. I'm not sure. But about midnight, Paul was praying. Paul is in prison for no reason, and he is praying and singing hymns to God. Paul is worshiping. He is so in love with Jesus, even through difficult times in his life. He's just worshiping the Lord, singing hymns, and he's praising. And listen to this. And the other prisoners were listening to him. Instead of inviting complaints, he invites Christ. Like, he doesn't deserve where he is. And he's not complaining about it at all. Instead, he is inviting Christ to a situation. Instead of soaking in sorrows, he invites the sovereign Son. Is that Jesus is providing him joy. And Paul can care less about where he is or what is happening to him. He just wants people to know Jesus and to be fueled by Jesus because it's Jesus that gives him joy through suffering. So how are you suffering today? And are you fueled by Jesus? That's where your true joy lies. So I've been hitting the gym hard. I've been going to the gym. I've been working out. I say hard. I've only been 2 days. but I've been working out. I'm sore. I mean, look at these right here. And so on Tuesday, the second time that I went, I was working hard. So here, on Sunday night, I had gotten in town from Oklahoma. Monday, I decided to kind of rest a little bit. And then on Tuesday, I was like, man, I got to hit the ground running hard. Like, I got so much work to do. I'm behind. So I'm just working away, like going hard, make sure like a lot of work is done. And then like, it's time for me to go work out. And so it's about 6 o'clock at night and I'm going there to work out. And I find myself like more tired as usual. Than usual. Like I feel like I'm suffering, honestly. Like workout is suffering anyway, but I feel like I can't complete the workout. Like I don't know what's going on. And then I start to remember, Chris, did you eat today? Like, did you eat today? Did you fuel your body up? And so through my suffering, I didn't have any joy or any energy. When this world brings you suffering, if you're not fueled by Jesus, if you're not fueled by Jesus, you'll be unable to complete life the way it is intended to live. This is also one of the reasons I believe the gospel was advancing, because people saw joy in Paul in the midst of his circumstance, in the midst of his suffering, and they wanted that. They're like, why is he so happy? He's in prison. He's singing songs. He's excited. Like, I want that. Like, they no longer wanted the momentary happiness. They didn't want the momentary satisfaction. It doesn't fix their problems. It doesn't give them joy. It will lead them to death. They started to want what Paul had. His second problem happens in verses 15 through 17. And so I want to read that again to remind us, like, what is actually happening. So in verse 15, it says this. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. So hear me on this. Not only is he suffering in prison, but outside of prison, he have people who are supposed to be believers in Christ that are just bashing him. People that are supposed to be believers that are hating on him. See, Paul is a new guy on the block, and he's starting churches. He's connecting people to Jesus, and people that were living there for a while wasn't getting the success that Paul was getting. So the thought process was, now that he's in jail, like, let's bash him and let's start pointing people to my churches, the ones that I have. And then we can start pointing them to Christ. And so they were doing all of this out of envy. They were envious of Paul, like believers, right? Like believers were like this. There was rivalry. There was selfish ambition. They were not sincere. They were causing trouble for him. And this was coming from possibly his own people. So he had his own people hating on him. And then he was in prison for no reason. Like, he's lonely in jail and possibly outside of jail too, except for that Philippian church that came to bring him gifts. There seems to be no love anywhere for Paul. And so let me pause and say this. The Bridge Church, we don't bash other churches. Like, we're a church, we don't bash other Christians. Churches aren't perfect, but we recognize and we worship the one who is perfect. So bashing other churches is not tolerated in this church. That together we will forever be on mission with other churches. We're going to serve together. We're going to love other churches together. We're going to pray for other churches. We're going to hope that other churches do well, because they want to connect people to Christ too. There's one goal, and it's to reach people and bring them to Jesus. So there will be no bashing from the Bridge Church. The second thing is, right now we are the new church on the block, but there's someday we won't be the new church on the block. There's going to be another church that's going to come in and connect people to Jesus too. And so what are we going to do? We're going to uplift them. We're going to love on them. We're going to care for them. We're going to serve them well. We're going to give them money. We're going to offer our people to help them. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to do what these envious other believers were doing. We're going to help them, mold them, transform them, push them, connect them to people that don't know Christ. That's what we're going to do. And I love, back to the passage, sorry. I love how Paul handles these people that are just envious, and they have their rivalry, they self-ambition and not sincere, they're causing trouble. Like, this is how Paul handles them. Verse 18, he says, "But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached." That's insane to me to respond that way. Like, he doesn't start back bashing them, hating on them, tearing them down. He's like, what does it matter? They can bash me all day. That the important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. Like, he just wants Jesus to be preached. And he says, because of this, here's our word, I rejoice. I rejoice. Number two, being fueled by Jesus gives you a different perspective on life. Being fueled by Jesus gives us a different perspective on life. Hurt people may hurt people, but I'm going to choose to find joy in Christ. People may hurt me, but Jesus loves me. Like, don't let people rob you from choosing joy during difficult circumstances, difficult situations that are in your life. Like, Paul could care less what people had to say about him. He could care less about being hurt. He could care less about being popular or being known by other people, because the only thing that matters to him is to be known by Christ. Like, how amazing is that? The only thing that mattered to him was being known by Christ and for people to be connected to Christ. Like, that's what we should want. So it gives him great joy that other people are coming to know Jesus. Jesus has given him a different perspective on life. And so if you're struggling with joy today, let me ask you a question, and this is sincere. When's the last time you've brought someone to know Jesus? Like, if you're struggling with joy, when's the last time you prayed for someone to know Christ? Like, if you're struggling with joy, when's the last time that you have given joy? Like, maybe you don't have any joy because you're not living in the purpose that Jesus has given you. Living in our purpose gives us joy through our suffering. Do you see that? Like, Paul is living in his purpose. And because he's suffering, he's like, that's okay, but I have joy because I'm living the way Christ wants me to live, and I'm giving out joy to people that need it. Man, I love Christmas, and y'all know that. Like, Christmas is one of my favorite holidays. And one of the reasons why is because I get to see this joy on Megan. That's my wife, if you're new to the Bridge Church. And Lily, that's my daughter. I get to see the joy on their faces when they receive gifts. But it's not just about the gifts for me. That there is someone else that cares about them, Megan and Lily, so much that he gifted his son to suffer and to die. Like, that's my joy when I suffer. It's that, yep, I've suffered, but there was also someone that suffered for me so that one day I won't have to suffer no more. The future makes me optimistic and gives me joy. Jesus gives me a different perspective on life. That it's not about me. It's about him, because he wants to give joy to the entire world. Verse 20, let's look at this. The second part of verse 20, it says, but we'll have sufficient courage so that now as always, this is awesome, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. That's our purpose there. It's like, nothing else matters. But is that Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. And then verse 21 says this. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. He says, for to me, to live is Christ. So he says, while I'm alive, while I'm living, I'm going to live like Christ. I'm going to care for the widows. I'm going to care for my neighbors. I'm going to care for the brokenhearted. I'm going to serve people. I'm going to love on people. I'm going to share the gospel to people. That's going to bring me joy. For to me, to live is Christ. Now listen to this next perspective, this next phrase he gives. To die is gain. Who says that? Like, who says to live is Christ, but to die is gain? Like, who looks forward to death? Paul does. Because Paul realizes that death is just a comma. That he will be in eternity with Christ, where everything will be perfect and that there will be no more suffering. Like, there's no more suffering with Jesus. So to him and to me, death is a gain. But while I'm still here, I'm going to serve Jesus. And I'm going to share the gospel. I'm going to tell people about Christ. Verse 22. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. So he's like, while I'm here, I'm just going to serve Jesus. I'm going to lead people to Christ. I'm going to give joy. If you're a Christian, like, give joy. How are you being fruitful during this time? During COVID-19, like, how are you being fruitful? Living in God's will gives you joy through suffering. And then he says this, which is so interesting to me. He says, yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Like, what shall I choose? Paul isn't suicidal here. Like, he's not thinking about suicide here. He's just struggling with one day leaving people that don't know Christ. Like, listen to that heart. He's like, one of the reasons I don't want to die because there are so many people that don't know Christ. I don't want to continue to share Jesus. Like, if Paul lived in Fredericksburg, he would know that there are 120,000 people that are unchurched. Not de-churched, unchurched. There are 120,000 people that don't have a relationship with Jesus, that don't know Christ. And so he would be pleading with Jesus, don't take me yet, because people need to hear the gospel. He would say, Lord, don't come yet, because people need to know you. He's pleading. That's why he's struggling. And I can see that. Like, I get that. I struggle too. Like, I struggle one day leaving LJ or leaving Megan or leaving the Bridge Church or leaving people that don't know Christ. Like, I think that's hard. And I could see why that would be a difficult choice for Paul, because he just wants people to know Jesus and be in heaven with him forever. Verse 23 says this, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, because there's no suffering with Jesus. But then he says this, but it is more necessary for you, for them, for the Philippian church, that I remain in the body. What? He's like, Lord, don't take me now, because it's so necessary for me. It's necessary for me, or for you, that I remain in the body, so I can continue to groom you and transform you. Verse 25, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress. And here's our word again, and joy in the faith. So not only does he have joy, the Philippian church has joy too. And he's like, I'm going to continue with joy in the faith together so that through my being with you again, listen to this, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on the account of me. They're boasting about Jesus. They're excited about Jesus. They're going to forever be on mission with Paul. See, here's the deal, church. We all suffer. We all go through bad things. You got to know that, man, this world is fallen and it's depraved and it's sick. And it's not good. I mean, it's a struggle. But where do you turn for joy when all of that stuff is happening? Like, where do you go? And I love that we get to choose, right? Like, you can choose momentary satisfaction. You can choose that. You can choose to be angry. You can choose to argue. You can choose to be depressed. You can choose anxiety. You can choose your broken marriage. You can choose your addictions. You can choose that. Or you can choose Jesus. Whereas Jesus, he would give you joy through your suffering. And it doesn't stop there. Like, he's going to give you so much joy that it's going to overflow out of your lives into other people's lives. Like, how exciting is that? And where it says the gospel advanced, that's why. Because he was giving Paul so much joy that it was just bleeding out of him into other people. That's why the gospel advanced. And so maybe you're here today and you don't have joy. You're struggling. Like, you're being beat up by your job. You're working so hard and you're not having a good life. You feel like you're just struggling, that you're just suffering. And maybe you feel like you're the only one that's going through that. And you're like, man, where can I find joy? Chris, like, what does that look like for me? Where can I go for joy? Jesus. That today I'm pleading with you. That if you're a part of the 120,000 people that don't know Christ, make that 119,000 today. That's you today. Let's pray. God, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful and I'm so in love with you. God, I just help me to have a heart that says to live is Christ and to die is gain. But then at the same time, won't be able to choose which one that I want in the moment, because I just want to reach people. I just want people to know you. I want people to have your joy. There's so many imperfect people that live in this world, which tells us that this world needs you, Lord. It needs you. So God, if there's people that are watching today and they don't have a relationship with you, I pray that you will soften their hearts and they will start one. So if that's you today and you don't know Christ, you don't have a relationship with him, and you're like, Chris, I want a relationship. Like, I want to know, how do I do this? How do I start that? Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. And you'll be saved. You have joy through your suffering. And maybe you say, how do I pray that? What does that look like? It is this. You can repeat after me. The words don't save you, but it's your heart. Is that I'm a sinner. I'm broken. I'm fallen. I'm depraved. I'm imperfect. But God, I've heard the gospel today. I've heard the good news about you today. That you have died on the cross for me and resurrected from the grave. That if I believe in you, that I can be reconciled to the Father again. And so, I here and now invite you to be the King of my heart and the King of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the sermon. We will have new messages uploaded each week on our website at thebridgefxbg.org and all social media platforms. Have a blessed week, and remember, always be a bridge.